ever took the time to think, like really, really think, just to answer some of the basic questions in life, such as, who are you? Why am I here? Or what is the purpose of life? No. Well, me neither. Here on Hashtag for the Culture, we're going to deep dive on some of the toughest topics going on in society today. But here's the catch. I'm going to keep it under 10 minutes because I don't want to waste all of your time. This is James Motivates, the best single host podcast on the planet. Let's do it. All right, let's get started. It's been a while. I'm sorry. But, you know, my 28th birthday just passed, and you know, I'm still slowly recovering from it. We had a great time, great turn up. I had an amazing time. I loved it. But now it's time to get back on the grind. Now it's time to get back to business. So what I want to talk about today is the Aaron Hernandez story on Netflix. This was probably one of the most talked about series this past week in the office, at home, in the gym. Everybody's talking about this documentary. So if you haven't seen this, I'm going to tell you right now, spoiler alert. So you might want to pause, go watch it, and then come back and listen to this podcast, because I don't want to mess it up for you. But basically, for those who don't care about the spoiler alert, I'm just going to explain it very, very quickly, and then we're going to deep dive into it. Aaron Hernandez was a football superstar. Grew up in Connecticut, ended up getting going to college in Florida, then got drafted by the Patriots, and then became a football superstar. Almost won a Super Bowl. Got drafted the same year as Robert Gronkowski. Robert Gronkowski is going to end up being a Hall of Famer. Aaron Hernandez was of that caliber type of player, to where if he would have stood on the field and played out his career, he would have been a superstar. Now let's go even deeper than that. So the Aaron Hernandez story goes into some of the things, or a lot of the things, that he dealt with off the field, outside of football. From trauma of being at home, to the accusations of the murders that he may or may not have committed, to his family life, to abuse, to all these things. So I'm watching a documentary, and when I was asked, well, what did you think about it? My initial thought was, I didn't like how the series tried to tie CTE to football. That I did not like. When I was watching it towards the end, they tried to make it so that way CTE and football were synonymous. And I don't think that's fair to the sport, because CTE is an issue that all contact sports have to deal with. Maybe not to the same magnitude as football, but all contact sports have to deal with it. Football, hockey is just the two that just quickly come to mind. Boxing. There were so many sports where there is head collisions, head-on collisions, or head contact, contact with the head, contact with the brain. And there are negative repercussions of that. However, the takeaway that I felt like they wanted to get here is that CTE and football have this direct link. While yes, that can be true, but I don't think that should have been the point of this documentary. The point of this documentary, in my opinion, should have been how all of these things that Aaron Hernandez had gone through eventually pushed him to do these acts of crime. He was accused of a double homicide, and he was accused of shooting his fiance's sister's boyfriend. Those are the three murders that they basically talked about in the documentary. Now, within those cases, there are some fishy things, and I don't really want to get into that, but I don't feel like they really had sufficient evidence to prove that he did the double homicide or had sufficient evidence to prove that he shot the guy in the face who actually inevitably ended up surviving to tell the story. Those two cases, I don't really know too much about, so I'm not going to say with conviction that he actually did it, but they did go deep into those cases. But now going back to Aaron Hernandez, what I did appreciate about the series, I almost said film, was that it did go back to his home life. It did go to the relationship with his mother, to the relationship with his fiance, to the relationship with his daughter, to the relationship with his friends. And then you got to see how all these things had an influence on the decisions he was making when he got to the NFL and the spotlight was on him. These aren't just random acts of, say, CTE that caused him to do these things. He was abused as a child. He lost his father at a very young age, who was like the staple and the not the muscle, but the enforcer, making sure everything was organized and the structure of the household. He lost that at a very young age. He went to Florida, Florida Gators, where that in that school, football is God. And if you're a football superstar at Florida, there are some things that you may be able to do that the average person can't get away with. And they even slightly touched on that in the documentary. So you have these things. And then you go to the NFL. You get a $40 million contract. But you're only about 2-3 hours away from where you used to live. He grew up in Connecticut and got drafted to Boston, to the New England Patriots. You're not far from home. All the troubles and trials and tribulations that you had to deal with are right there in your face. So the temptation to go back home and deal with people who may not necessarily have your best interests at heart came back to bite you. And to go back to the whole CTE thing, they even talked about, the doctor said, this is the worst case of CTE I've ever seen in my life. Why, yes, that's bad. That's terrible. But that is not the end all be all. And that was my biggest thing that I did not like about the documentary. But I encourage you to watch it. However, the documentary or the series, whatever you want to call it, raised a lot of interesting questions about the sport of football. Because when I had this discussion with some of my colleagues, they talked about, or we talked about as a group, would you allow your kids to play football knowing that this could be an end result? My initial response was yes. As long as I know that my child is learning to play in a safe manner, not being out there just being coached to just throw his body all over the field in unsafe positions and tackling wrong and hitting. Like, if it's an unsafe environment and I see that they're not coaching safety, then no, I don't want my son a part of that program. But if this is an organization that is teaching them the right way to tackle, the right way to take a hit, the right way to protect yourself, is that risk of taking a bad hit still there? As in any sport, yes. But at the same time, I know they would be training my son to play safe, to play the right way. And that is what I'd be looking for when I would allow my son to try out for different teams. That would be my focal point, is safety. But, you know, some other opinions are, no, I would never allow my son to play football because of the possible injuries and the things that I've heard about CTE, which is completely understandable. I get it. But there are other sports where head trauma is real. Not saying that it's as drastic as football. No, because football is a very violent sport and it can be dangerous. I get that part. 100%. But I've played football And I know multiple people that have played football, numerous accounts of football players who love the game, love it, would play to this day. Maybe not at the NFL level, because they know how crazy that can be, but a lot of, they love playing in high school. They love playing in middle school. They love playing peewee football. Hundreds of accounts I could give you. But now that the science is coming out, which is great, so people can possibly change their opinions because they're presented with new facts, raises the debate again. Should we even be allowing our kids to play football? And I really, 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 really want to know your take on this, because it's a very tough decision. I have a nephew right now who loves football, plays football, helmet, pads, ready to go. But even it crosses my mind, like, when having these conversations, is like, do I want my nephew playing football? A part of me is like, yeah, because I did it. He has other family members that did it. And we're all okay. And then for me, it's like, as long as he likes it and wants to do it, and I'm going to fully support him in those dreams and aspirations and those goals. But the minute he tells me, no, I don't want to do it, then I would support that too. But I will push him before I just allow him to quit. Don't quit just because you lost the game and now you don't like it anymore. But if you've really gotten to the point where you don't like the game of football anymore, now that's a different conversation that him, his mom, and his dad would have to have before my input is even given. But I would support him in whatever decision that is. Now, I know I said I was going to go keep it under 10 minutes, but this is a really, really good conversation. So just stay with me, rock with me for a little while. We're gonna deep dive into this some more. So going back to, would you allow your kids to play the sport? And it's a very, very tough question. I would allow them. But now that this new science is out, I'm not going to lie, I am second guessing. I am thinking about it a little deeper. It's not as easy and as quick as a yes as it was maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, after watching the Will Smith movie, Concussion, and hearing endless accounts about this whole CTE thing. It makes you raise those questions and have pause for concern, which is completely understandable. But there are some people who are on one end of the spectrum and some people who are on the other end of the spectrum. And another thing that came up in conversation when talking about this documentary was, what happens to the kids or young adults that don't make it to the NFL but have played football from peewee age of like 5, 6, 7, however young you can start playing, to about 18 when they're done with high school? We don't have study for that age bracket. So think about it like this. The ones that can actually get, well, not even actually get, but the ones who probably can get treatment for CTE are retired football players to an extent, because they don't really know if they got it while they're alive, because we don't even know how to really diagnose it, at least to my understanding. So, but if they do have symptoms of it, maybe they can get some type of treatment. Or people are studying the brains of dead football players. But for the kids that don't go to college to play football or don't make it to the NFL after college, how do we know these people aren't walking around with CTE or brain trauma or PTSD or other type of mental health issues due to the sport of football? Because they don't have those resources to go get checked out for that. The average person don't have the resources to go to the doctor like, hey, doc, I think I got CTE. Let me figure this out. Like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. Your coverage covers your physical and any emergency situations. But all that CTE diagnosis and all that stuff, nah, we don't do that here. So what happens to those kids? How you know you're not affected from taking that bad hit? How you know that those concussions that you may have caught that you thought weren't a big deal are bothering you right now in little ways that you can't even really express or comprehend? That's the question I want to know. What happens to those kids, or how do they get treatment for those? Because they put their bodies through so much up until this point where they played for PB football to college, but because they didn't make it to the NFL, they can't get the treatment for it. And when I'm thinking about that, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Because the NFL players barely get the support that they need for their mental health. So one thing I would really, really love to see football do, the sport of football do, is take more of a stance on ensuring the mental health of their players. Because football is like a war zone where people have the license to rip your head off your shoulders. And if you don't think that could have an effect on somebody and their psyche, I'm letting you know you're wrong. I would love to see the NFL take that stance on mental health, because it could really help the kids substantially. Going back to the documentary, there was this one guy who was talking about the difference between Aaron Hernandez and one of the murder victims, and he said that Aaron Hernandez was rich, but the person he murdered, which was his friend, was wealthy. Wealthy in the sense of, the murder victim, I don't want to say his name incorrectly, so I'm going to just say murder victim. The murder victim, he was wealthy because he had relationships with people. People loved him. He had family that loved him. That made him wealthy, because nothing was going to change that. And I could be misquoting it here, but it was something along those lines. Whereas Aaron Hernandez was rich because he had that $40 million contract. But what is rich without happiness? People think that Aaron Hernandez had it all just because he signed that $40 million contract. That does not mean he was happy. And I think that's what the documentary wanted you to understand. Money does not come with happiness. And I think that people looked at it like he was on top of the world. But if you're not happy, you're not on top of the world, no matter how much money you got. And that was one of my favorite lines in the entire series when he said that. I wish I had the exact quote here, but I don't. But when you hear it, that's going to touch you. You're gonna pause for a second and really think about it, because that's what it made me do. And another thing about the documentary, I feel like they tried to humanize Aaron Hernandez to a degree. They wanted people to understand that Aaron Hernandez was a human who made mistakes. And I understand that, because he had family or has family that loves him. And they wanted people to understand that he was not just this psychopathic murderer that people try to make him to be. But at the same time, if these cases are true, he is a murderer. And you cannot just tie away from that. So there's two sides to one coin. And that I can understand. And it's easy to say that when you're a third party just watching. So I know, and I'm trying to be as sensitive as I possibly can with the words that I'm choosing, because you never know who can hear the words that come out of your mouth. And I understand that. So I'm trying to be very sensitive to both sides here. But to just give my opinion on the matter, the documentary tried to portray both sides of that coin. And that's one thing I did appreciate, but I did not like how the final takeaway was CTE and football. That was just, no. I didn't like that at all. I think they could have did a way different, a way better ending, just tying in all of this to the decisions that he made. Because at the end of the day, these were his decisions if these accusations are true. And I want to raise that question again. Would you allow your son or daughter to play football, knowing that if they stay in it for some years or if they take a bad hit, that they can have these mental health issues in the future? If so, why? If not, why? My second question would be, do you think, or what do you think happens to football players that don't make it to the NFL but still have these mental health issues from playing the sport? How should they get help and how should they get treated? And then my last question and my final question would be, well, how do you feel about the documentary as a whole? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Why? Why not? I want to get your take on that. And that's about it. You know, thank you for rocking with me. I appreciate you for staying longer than usual. I know it's been a while, but I'm back now. I enjoyed my birthday. Thank you for everybody for giving me the birthday love, birthday wishes. I sincerely appreciate it. And I hope you continue to listen. I hope you continue to support. Make sure you share, like, comment. Let your friends know. Tell your friends. Also, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at James Motivates. Again, you can find me at James Motivates. This is hashtag for the culture, the number one single host podcast on the planet. Let's do it.